Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and you have tuned into Power in the Word. And there is, you know that there really is power in the Word of God. It's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. I'm just happy to be alive. Have you ever gotten to the point where you were elated about your life, where you were happy to be alive, glad that God had created you, glad that you were born to the parents that you were born to, glad that you had gone through some of the experiences that you had gone through, just happy to be alive, finally glad that Jesus Christ died for you so that you could have life and have that abundant life. It's a good day. It's a good day. The weather is finally warming up. It is basically a pretty nice day outside. I don't know what the temperature is. I have to apologize. I cannot give you a weather report because I have been consumed with everything that I have to do. I am celebrating because I have sent my new book, Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. I have finally sent that book to the printers, and I am just ecstatic about what God has done through that work. That is a work about having everything that you want in life. I always say that no matter where you are in life, you have not yet tapped into your full potential. There is still more. There is still more in store for you, and there is still more that God wants to do in you, with you, and through you. So make yourself available to read this book when it hits the bookstores. It is coming out, and we're doing a major, major launch of this book. Keep your ears inclined to hear the word about Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. I'm excited about everything that is going on today. Today has been a good day. I did, like I told you, I got that book off to the printers. I had a Christian woman working with me, a woman who had the same vision that I had for this book. And together we created a cover that is perfect for Pump Up the Power. So I want to give a shout out to Anne-Marie Goodrich of Goodrich Designs, and you can check her out at goodrichdesigns.net. So I'm blessed to have my book be a part of her portfolio. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and you are listening to Power in the Word. This is a call-in show, so you can call in any time during the show, and the call-in number is 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832, and you can call in any time during the show. I look forward to talking to you while I'm on the air here. Today, I want to talk about America. I want to talk about the moral fiber of America. What is happening with the morals and the values in this great country that we live in? America was founded on certain moral standards, and it seems that we are getting further and further away from those standards. You cannot turn on a television set without hearing some nonsense that makes you wonder what the heck is going on. So that's what I want to talk to you about on today. Do you think that the moral fiber, that the moral condition of America is deteriorating? Do you believe that we are okay, or do you believe that we do need some help, that we do need some prayer in the area of morality? And I'm not talking about anything in particular, because moral injustice is moral injustice no matter how you look at it. So I want you to be certain that I am not picking on any particular group of people. So don't tune me out yet. Hear me out. And I want to hear from you. Whatever your opinion is, this is an open forum on today, and I want to hear from you. But I do have something to say. So even if you don't call, don't worry about it, because I'm going to say what I have to say. Amen. And praise God. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. And we just take this time to glorify your name and lift your name up in prayer on today. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning in our right minds. We thank you, Lord, for a roof over our head and clothes in the closet, and Father God, for the ability to get up and wash, bathe ourselves and feed ourselves, Lord, and clothe ourselves and take ourselves out of our homes to go to work or to school or wherever it is that you would have us to go on today. Father God, we ask that you direct our steps, order our steps, lead us in the way that we should go. Keep us from temptation, Father God. Deliver us from evil, Father God. Help us, Father God, to help ourselves and help us, Lord, to live the life that is worthy of the calling for which you have called us heavenward in Christ. Father God, I pray for every listener. I pray for every listener right now in the name of Jesus. Meet them where they are. Meet every need, Father God. Meet every need on this particular half an hour that I would be on Power in the Word, and even beyond that, Father God, for this day, for their lives. Meet every need in the lives of my listeners, Father God. Open up the hearts of the people that will be tuning in today and those who will listen through the archive. Open up their hearts so that they can receive what it is that you have to say to them on this day. And at the end of the day, Lord, we will continually give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. You know, I just feel like praising God today. And I can't contain myself. I just can't contain myself. When I look at TV, let me tell you, I work from home, and very often I take my lunch on the couch, and I'm watching whatever is on TV. Sometimes I listen to a preacher, and sometimes I turn on one of the talk shows or one of the court TV shows, and to my dismay, every time that I turn on one of these shows, I am met by nonsense, what I call total moral deterioration, people who have no inclination whatsoever as to the fact that they're better than that, that they don't have to live like that, that they don't have to deal with all of the nonsense. You know, it's been years since I've had to deal with nonsense in my life, and I attribute that to Jesus Christ being in my life. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God that when he saved me, he saved me. I thank God that I didn't have to go through a whole bunch of drama trying to get my one foot out of the world. I thank God that he brought me in and brought me out in one swift motion. Amen. He brought me in and he brought me out of my mess. He brought me into the kingdom of God and he brought me out of my mess. And it didn't take long for him to do that. Amen. God will deliver you from evil. God will deliver you from your own self, and God will deliver you from nonsense. I grew up in the hood, what they would call the hood. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. I grew up in Newark, and I'm going to tell you right now that some good can come out of Newark. Just like Jesus, they wanted to know, could any good thing come from Nazareth? Amen. And you have to realize that no matter where you're from, no matter where you grew up, no matter what people are saying about you, you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your circumstances do not validate you, nor do they invalidate you. They do not dictate to your identity, amen. The only thing that your circumstances do, your circumstances form your personality, and God can give you a new mind, a new heart, a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new personality. God can do it. Oh, yes, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12 to not be conformed any longer to the way and the things of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must begin to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We must change the way that we think. My friend, Pastor Matthew Tillery, down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, wrote a book, Change the Way You Think. It's a small book, 64 pages. Is available on Amazon.com for $7.95. It's well worth the $8 that you're going to pay for that book, because that book will give you, in a nutshell, the ideal for Christian thinking and Christian living. We must change the way that we think. We must begin to think like Christ. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We already have received the mind of Christ, and we need to exercise the capability to think like Christ. And we must make up our mind that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we are you. Yeah, you. You must make up your mind that you are a son of the Most High God, that you are a daughter of the Most High God. You must make up your mind that you are wonderfully and fearfully made, that you are somebody in Christ, and that you are going to obey the Lord. Amen. I did say obey. Obey is one thing. It's one thing. I'm going to share this scripture with you from the book of, where are my notes? Book of Matthew, chapter 22. I'm turning my Bible, and I pray that when you come here that you will bring your Bible. I don't always read from the scriptures, but most of the time I will turn to at least one scripture. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22:34 reads, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Amen. And praise God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your mind. And in another translation, in another book, the other book, it says with all of your strength, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we think about this, it really brings things back into focus. When we think about the fact that the moral fiber of America is deteriorating, we can pretty much narrow it down to this one particular point. And that point is that we have abandoned this commandment. We have abandoned these two commandments. People talk about the Ten Commandments. They have taken the Ten Commandments out of the schools. They don't want them hanging up in the courthouses. The Ten Commandments are not allowed to be talked about. There's the separation of state and church. And then you think about prayer. We've taken prayer out of school. We're not allowed to lift up the name of Jesus. We're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. And when you think about that, do you think, and I want you to call me, I want you to call me at 646-652-4832. But when you think about that, the fact that everywhere that you turn, there is evil, there is wickedness in America, that we are now in the middle of a war that's been going on for over 6 years, and there still seems to be no end to this war. When you think about the fact that our children do not have any respect for the human life, when you think about the gang activity and the drug activity, when you think about the fact that there's so much teenage pregnancy and so many abortions in America, when you think about the fact that our children are killing their parents, you have children killing their parents and you have parents killing their children, when you think about all of these things, would you not agree with me that there seems to be a problem? There seems to be a deterioration with the moral fiber of America, and that problem is directly linked to the fact that we do not have that level of awe, that level of admiration, that level of submission to the Lord our God. And a lot of people don't even recognize that God is God. So I believe that a big part of it is that we have moved God out of the system, the American system. I believe that the American system does not want very much to do with God at all, if anything. I believe that the American system, if the American system, and I love America. I was born and raised here in America. I am an American. I love America, but because I love America, I want to talk about this. The Bible says that If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their nation. As a matter of fact, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their nation. God is serious about this. We have gotten ourselves into a mess. And a big part of that problem is that we have edged God out. We have pushed God out of the equation. We don't admonish our children to know God. We don't train up our children to know God. And I'm talking about myself too, because it took me a minute to get to the point where I knew that God was my all in all, that I could not do anything with God. I could not do anything without God. It took me a minute to get to that point. And I want to hear your opinion. This is Rebecca Simmons, Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm talking about morality. I'm talking about the moral fiber of America. I'm talking about coming back to God. I'm talking about turning back to God. America as a country, do you think it's a good idea for America as a country to turn back to God? I do. I really do think that we need God right now. I think that we need him right now. And Jesus said if we love him with all our hearts, minds, and all of our souls, and if we love our neighbor as ourselves, that those were the two greatest commandments. And our commandment is to love. And when you look at adultery, let's look at this. Let's look at somebody, some woman who is sleeping with her sister's husband. Let's look at some little girl who's 12 years old, 13 years old, out there prostituting herself for money. Let's look at all of our teenagers in the abortion clinics. Let's look at our young men in gangs where the initiation process involves killing somebody, shooting a mother and a daughter, or beating up an old lady. Let's look at the news. Let's look at the man on the news who's robbing old people, going around beating up on old women. What is that about? I tell you, I believe that we're missing something in America. We're missing something, and we need to come back to God. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to get back into a higher level of morality, We need to increase and begin to repair the moral fiber of America. And how do we do this? There are several things missing. Accountability. See, when you take God out of the equation, you have no one higher than yourself to answer to. If you don't have a level of accountability, then you're liable to do anything. It was my fear of God. It was my awe of God, my reverential fear of God, that made me say, I don't want to sin against God anymore. I wasn't scared of going to hell, but I had a regard for God, and I wanted a better life, and I knew that I could have a better life with God. And when I recognized that God loved me and that he had a great plan for my life even before I was born, when I realized that God formed me and shaped me in my mother's womb with a purpose for my life, that made all of the difference in the world for me. And I was able to say, I'm going to be accountable to God. Jesus is not just going to be my Savior, but Jesus Christ is going to be my Lord. So we need a level of accountability in America. Another thing that we need is validation or affirmation. See, these little girls who are out there looking for love in all of the wrong places, these little girls that are out there sharing their bodies with old men, they're out there being raped. These little girls that are out here just really throwing their lives away, getting pregnant and having abortions and getting into drugs, all of this stuff that our kids are doing, the gangs, the little boys that are getting involved with gangs that are selling drugs, I believe that they need to be validated. I believe that there has been no affirmation in their lives because there is a lack of parenting. There are so many unparented children in our society, and as a result, these children grow up to be deemed criminals, amen, and they grow up and they're getting involved with drugs and sex and crime, and they're really, really messing up their lives. And I'm a testimony that you can mess up your whole life with drugs and alcohol and having sex with the wrong people. There's something out there called AIDS, and if you're out there having unprotected sex, or if you have a child who's out there, then that child is being set up for death because sex outside of marriage is sin. And the end of sin is death. So it all ties together. I know this is a hard topic, and I don't normally talk about topics like this, but for some reason, and I know why, because I was watching Maury Parfit. I was watching Maury, and these women were testing men for 3, 4, 5, 6 different men to see who the baby daddy was. What is that about? Who is my baby daddy? And women are crying and falling out on the floor. I need to know who my baby daddy is. But if these women had not went to bed with so many different men, if they had kept their skirts down, their underwear up, and their legs closed, then they would not find themselves in the position that they find themselves in. And I'm not passing judgment because the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me from being what I call the hoochie mama. I was out there looking for love in all of the wrong places, wearing the wrong clothes, seeking the wrong kind of attention. And as a result of that, I was going through boyfriends like the weather changes. Amen. And what I had to realize is that I was looking for validation. I was looking for affirmation. I was looking for something or somebody to validate me. And I'm talking about the moral fiber in America. What's lacking is that we don't have anybody to tell us that we are valid. We are not invalid creations. We are valid creations that God created us. He knit us together. That means he took his time and shaped us and formed us. Every hair on your head is numbered. God knit you together. He formed you in your mother's womb. God had a purpose for you when he was creating you. When he thought about sending you here to this earth to live your life, God already had a purpose in mind for you. You were born with a plan and a purpose. And when you get that, then you may be able to line up with the plan that the Lord has for you. Again, I'm talking about that accountability that comes from being lined up with the plan of God for your life. Amen. And that gives you a sense of purpose. See, a lot of us in America, a lot of people, and I was one of them, I always talk from experience, but a lot of people have a lack of a sense of purpose. We don't think that we are valuable. We don't think that we are worthy even to do the things that God has called us to do. So we go through life as meandering generalities, and we're not really sure why we're here or what we're supposed to be doing here. There are some people, it's been said that there are some people that make things happen. There are some people that things happen to, and there are some people that sit around and wonder what the heck just happened. Amen. And I have to say, which one will you be? Are you going to be one of those people who are wondering what happened? Or are you going to be one of those people out there making things happen? Because you have a purpose. And when you have a sense of purpose, then you can begin to make a difference in this country that we live in. The moral fiber of America is deteriorating, and it's because we need to get our acts together. Even as Christians, we really need to do better. We need to do more. Amen. Amen. I have a caller on the line, and it's always a blessing when someone calls the show. Area code 862, you're on the line. Thanks. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Yes, I do. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Is this my friend Debbie?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I've been waiting for you to call.
Yeah, I would have called earlier, but I just witnessed a car accident out in front of my store.
Okay. Well, I know you're at work. And Debbie, I was just talking about the moral fiber of America. And it's good that you called in just when I was talking, because I was talking about having a sense of purpose and basically being validated and having some affirmation. I shared a little bit about why I was out there doing what I was doing, because I was looking for love in all of the wrong places. And I looked at Maury, I was saying, I looked at Maury, and there were women on the show wondering, they've tested 5 and 6 men, and they're wondering, who is my baby daddy? And after the sixth man, this one particular woman still did not know who her baby daddy was. And as a testimony to that, I was saying there is something wrong with the moral fiber of America.
It is. And I mean, and I blame a lot of it on not the parents of the young folks that are out here, because they get influenced by so much that they see, hear, and, you know, observe in the everyday life, to whereas, you know, they don't know what they need to do, and they figure that they can't talk to their parents. But, I mean, I have a 13-year-old niece that I have custody of, and I told her, whatever you need to know, just ask me. There's no question that you can ask me that would shock me. I've been out here. I know the deal. And if the children don't have someone that they can talk to, they're going to just find it out any old type of way. And that's why you have a young lady on TV, national TV, testing 5, 6, 7, 8 men because she don't know who her baby daddy is. And that means that she just played footloose and fancy free with her life and her child and not caring.
Right.
I'm going to sleep with as many men as I can sleep with because they say they love me.
Right. And why do you think she does that? I mean, you know, I know that you have a testimony. I have a testimony. And I told you, I was telling the audience before you called in that I did what I did because I was looking for love. I needed to be validated. I needed to be affirmed. I didn't think enough of myself. And that's what's going on. I believe that these women don't think enough of themselves. And I believe that the fact of that, what's really happening is that we're taking God out of America. We don't want God in our lives, and I think that really messes things up for a lot of people.
It does, because folks are so used to, you know, they need to see the here and now. They need to be able to touch it, feel it, and see it.
Yeah.
And if they can't touch it, feel it, or see it, then they don't believe in it. But see, what people don't understand is that, you know, what I've come to realize in my walk with the Lord is that I can touch it, feel it, and see it only if I'm willing to see it.
My God, my God.
If I'm not willing to see it, then I won't see it, and I won't believe it, and I'll think, oh, that was luck. Oh, I got some good luck. That's not luck. That's God.
Amen, amen.
That's God, because I looked at it like that for the longest time, but I had to open my eyes to a new way of seeing things, because the things that come about in my life, they come about in my life because of God.
Amen.
That's because of my walk with Him. If I'm an obedient child to my parent and I get rewarded for it, then I have to apply the same prospects to my God. If I'm
Amen.
An obedient child to my God, He's going to show me what I need to do and how I need to do it, and then He's going to let me reap the benefits.
Amen. Praise God.
When you do wrong, He's going to let you know. And you'll say, oh, God, here go bad luck again. It's not bad luck.
It's God.
That you were doing something that you weren't supposed to do, and you knew it, but you did it anyway, so God had to reprimand you.
Right, and you've had life without God. You've been without God, and you've been with Him. How has God made a difference in your life, and what finally got you to the point where you wanted to totally surrender to the Lord?
I had to totally surrender to the Lord because I was in a relationship with a man. I was living in sin, fornicating, doing drugs, drinking, and just all out there. I was in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to let the world go.
Amen.
And embrace God in the spirit and the natural.
Amen.
Because it wasn't getting me anywhere.
Amen.
I was doing drugs so that way I wouldn't have to think about my problems.
Yeah.
I was drinking so that way it would stay muddled in my brain so that way I wouldn't have to keep focusing on it.
Amen.
But as soon as I sobered up, everything that I hid from the day before came slapping me right back in my face.
That's the truth.
And when I had a nightmare one night and I woke up hollering and screaming and crying and remembered the dream vividly, it was on a Saturday. I'll never forget it. It was on a Saturday in 2002.
My
and
God.
That Sunday, I went to church.
Amen. Praise God. And that's what I'm saying, Debbie. I wish you had called in earlier because the show is over today, but I want you to call back again so that I can talk to you more about your testimony. But what I'm saying is we need God. People,
we
need
him.
God. God is going to be the only thing that's going to repair the deteriorating moral fiber of America.
Yes,
so this has been power in the word. And Debbie, you said something else?
Oh, yeah, because it definitely is, because We have to look to our children that are coming up now in order to be in government as we get into our older years.
Yes.
And what we have out here now, I wouldn't trust them to go to the corner.
Much
less run my country.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
amen. Praise God. Well, we're not going to get into that because I don't want them closing down my show.
Okay. Yes,
closing down my show. But you're so right. You know, our children are going to be in politics one day, and what we see is what we're going to get.
Yes.
And you're right. So I just want to admonish you, listeners. I want to ask you, please, please consider the moral fiber of America. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. God has only asked that we do that. Jesus Christ himself spoke it into our lives. And you have a responsibility to make a difference in the way that you parent, in the way that you live your life as a Christian, in the way that you talk to our young people, the way that you mentor our young people, and the way that you conduct your relationship with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, Debbie, did you have anything to say? We're already off the air, but for those who are listening on the archive, they'll be able to hear your comments.
The only thing I got to say is that open your heart and your soul and let God in. Because this is what is going to take you through all your trials and tribulations is the power that he can give you.
Amen.
And you need to trust in it. I know it's a foreign thing to a lot of people, but there is a God in every one of us walking out here, and we just have to believe it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And Debbie, you know, it's funny because I remember when you and I got saved, Debbie and I used to hang out together. For all of those who are still listening, we're going to extend the show for a few minutes. But Debbie and I used to hang out together, and we did all of the dirt together, you know, the drugs and the hanging out in clubs. And then we were what they call cut buddies.
Yes.
Where Debbie was, I was, and we were you know, the life of the party. Everywhere that we went, you know, men were falling all over themselves to try to buy us drinks and try to get with us.
Yes.
For all of the wrong reasons, I realize now, Debbie.
Yes. Oh, yes. They were all that was just for the moment. We were living in the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't want our children to have to go through a lot of the things that we went through, because if we would have just listened a little bit, opened up our ears instead of our mouths so quickly, we would have learned a long time ago. But it was something that we had to go through so that way we would be able to mentor and to teach our young girls, especially that are coming up.
Amen. I agree with that. And I have to say this, Debbie, I have to say this, but there was nobody preaching. There was no one preaching to me. You know, I couldn't hear. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't see any Christians coming to me, talking to me about God. There were only about two occasions that I can remember that someone came to me and said, if you don't stop what you're doing, you're going to hell. I don't know about you. Did you get a lot of?
Only thing that I got from everybody and whatnot is you're going to hell.
Yeah.
God hates you. You just don't want to listen.
Yeah.
They didn't teach me how to listen.
Yeah.
Hollering at me is not going to make me listen to you. That's going to make me even run further away.
Yeah, so that's a good question. While we're talking about the moral fiber of America, what's a good way that we can get the word out? I love what you just did when you said open up your heart. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. So what is the best thing that we can do, the best way that we can get the message out without people rejecting the message of the cross?
Well, one way that I see and that it relates to the majority of the young folks is through music.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen with Kirk Franklin and Donnie McClurkin and what they've been doing through their song is that they put a beat behind it.
Amen.
And when you put a beat behind it, it seems like the young folks are actually playing the music. And it's actually, they actually remember stuff.
Because
I had my niece go, oh, I like that Kirk Franklin song and whatnot, because that girl told the truth and stuff and everything. She don't have to live for no man. She need to live for herself.
Oh, great. Okay, so the young people. Amen. Praise God. So the young people can relate to the music, and that's it, because the music was the thing that drew us to the clubs. It was the escapism.
Yes.
We were able to escape. And,
yes.
You know, we were listening to Disco Christian Club.
Right.
when we were in the clubs, and God's word would not come back to him without accomplishing what he sent it to accomplish. So I guess I have to renege on that statement when I said that no one was preaching it, because the music was preaching it.
Yeah, the music was preaching it to us, but all we heard was the beat.
Yeah.
And that's what we reacted to was the beat.
Our spirit heard the word.
The word. Yeah, and we didn't let the word in until we opened our hearts.
Until we opened our hearts. Amen. Praise God. Because we didn't know, but God knew. And that's why I said God had a plan for you, and he had a plan for me, Debbie. That's why we're doing what we do today. And that's why we love the Lord like we do today. Debbie, for the listening audience, I haven't talked to Debbie in years, and she called me up today. And she began to testify to me, and I was getting ready to go on the air, and I said, Debbie, you have to call the show, because I'm praising God. Debbie, I've been praising God all show long, because you called, and you're saved, and you're going to heaven. Amen?
Yes, of course.
And not only are you going to heaven, but you got a little piece of heaven right here on earth.
And I sure do.
Amen.
I'm at peace. It has been so long. It's been so many years that I was able to find peace.
Yeah.
I mean, not peace and quiet, but peace.
Yeah.
I'm in an area where there's always something going on. It's always chaos happening.
Yeah.
But once I come into my house where I know that my house is my shrine to the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm at peace. I have so much peace in my life and conviction, and I have direction.
Amen.
And with the Lord giving me what I need for my heart and my soul, that's what makes it easy for me to come out here and do the things that I have to do.
And God gave you all of that, peace and joy.
He gave me peace, joy, wisdom. He taught me how to laugh again.
Amen.
And rejoice in the now and know that what I'm doing now is going to pave the way to my future and my ever after.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And what about those relationships? How has your relationship with God improved your relationships with other people?
It has changed it so much, because I had so many people that did me wrong and that I held grudges.
Mm.
I had family members that I wasn't speaking to because of, you know, generational gaps in the family. And
yes.
I just carried it on.
Yes.
Not knowing that I'm carrying on something that I don't even know why.
Mm.
I just did it because, oh, well, mommy didn't like her, so I'm not going to like her either.
Yes.
Instead of forgetting to know the person.
Amen.
And now I have to give it to God, and I have to release a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mom passed away over 8 years ago.
Yes, I remember.
And I held a grudge against my aunt for 7 of those 8 years.
Mm. So you have finally forgiven.
I had to let it go because it wasn't getting me anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't getting me anywhere. I'm upset over a monetary situation that I don't need to deal with anymore. I know my mother is laid to rest. I know she's in the hands of God.
Amen.
She's happy. So
Amen.
If that's the case, why am I holding this grudge against my aunt?
That's right. And your aunt, you were not making your aunt suffer. You were making yourself suffer.
No, the only person that was suffering was me.
Yes.
I
yes.
was the only one that was suffering. And, you know, and even though I did, you know, extend the olive branch and took her out and everything and stuff and rolled around with her and stuff, and then it comes back to me that you was just trying to show her up. And
okay.
I said, you know what, I just give it to God, because I did what he wanted me to do, was let go of the grudge. I let it go. If she can't, then that's on her. And
Amen.
Every time
Praise
I see
God.
Her, I speak, I give her a hug, and I move on.
Amen. And that's important.
Yeah, because I can't wait for her validation of me.
Amen. And that's what I was talking about, being validated by people. And I say your circumstances, people, things that you've done, who you've done it with, those things do not validate you, nor do they invalidate you.
No,
they don't. And the affirmation comes from the word of God. When God lets us know that we're wonderfully and fearfully made, when he lets us know that he has a purpose for our lives, that he considered us while we were yet in our mother's womb, that he had a plan for us, that all of our days were written in his book,
and that
we are wonderful. I mean, it's just amazing that his work, the work of his hands, I sing for joy, and I can't sing. I still can't sing, Debbie, but I sing for joy at the work of his hands.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I can go into the into any chapter and book in the Bible and find situations from there that I'm going through right now.
Amen. So, I mean, that's another thing. This show is power in the Word. And that's what you just said. You can go into the Bible and find a solution for your situation that you're going through right now.
Okay.
Now, isn't that power?
Yeah.
That is power. Well, I noticed that you have a customer. I know that you're at your store.
Yeah, because I got a customer right now and stuff and everything. But I'm going to give you a call later on and talk to you.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for calling into Power in the Word. God bless you, Debbie.
God bless you.
God bless you. Okay, and that is it. I started out talking about the moral fiber of America. And you heard Debbie. That was Debbie, my old friend from way, way, way back in the day. We used to hang out so many years ago. That was Debbie. She called in, and she had called in a voice from the past. But you know, God will remind you of where you came from just so that he can remind you and reassure you of where you're going. Amen. And the very fact that Debbie called me on today just did something to me. I was working on my book, getting ready to re-release it to the because I made an error in it, and the printer let me know about it, and I have to resubmit it. But just the fact that she called while I was in the middle of that project, that was just like God saying, I haven't forgotten, and look how far I've brought you, and look how far I'm yet to take you. So what I'm saying to you on today is that, yes, there is a problem with the moral fiber of America, but change begins with you. Change is going to begin with one person at a time. And like Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. And I'm going to say to you right now, I'm starting with the woman in the mirror. I'm starting with having a greater sense of morality. I'm starting with having a higher level of accountability, of knowing that God validates me and gives me a sense of purpose. I'm going to obey the royal law of love that Jesus Christ set before us, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm going to start with making sure that my family is solid, that my children are being raised up in the way that they should go, that they're being trained in the things of God, and that they're parented, that they're not just sitting in front of the TV as they grow older, that I'm spending quality time with my children. I'm starting with making sure that my marriage is intact and that I don't have any unhealthy soul ties. That is what I'm saying to you. Join me. I'm challenging you to join me to make a difference in the way that America is perceived. I'm challenging you to humble yourself, to pray, to turn from anything that's not like God, and watch God hear from heaven and heal our nation. God is not trying to give you a book of rules. He's only said two things: love him with all your heart, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He's going to make the difference. You heard Debbie testify. Debbie, I'm not going to give her testimony, but it's like mine. You've heard my testimony, and she's been through a lot of the stuff that I've been through. I don't know her whole story, but I do know that she has a story, and that's what I'm here to tell you. Everybody has a story. God wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free, but you're going to have to, like Debbie said, open up your heart and allow God to do his work in your life. Amen. You're going to have to open up your heart and give God all of that ugly stuff. Give him the sin. Give him the unforgiveness. Give him the anger, the resentment, the bitterness. Give him the lack of self-esteem or the low self-esteem. Give him the sadness and the hurt. Give it to God. Give him. He said, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you give it to God, God will take care of you. Oh, yes, he will take good care of you. So give it to God. God is not trying to take anything from you. He's just trying to take, let me correct that. He's not trying to take anything valuable from you. God is just trying to take everything from you that is destroying you, everything from you that is standing in the way of the plan and the purpose that he has for you. God is not trying to take anything valuable from you. He's trying to get some things to you. He's trying to make you and mold you and shape you into the person that he created you to be so that you can make a difference in this United States of America so that you can make a difference in your home, in your business, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your community, and in this United States of America. Oh, yes, you can make a difference, and you can do something about the deteriorating moral fiber of America. I challenge you to join me today and start with that person in the mirror. That's it for today's version of Power in the Word. I pray that you tell somebody about this program and that you tune in on a regular basis. I am here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. Tune in and tell somebody about Power in the Word. In the meantime, remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my sister, remember, my brother, that you can make a difference. You can help to improve this moral fiber of America. You can make a difference in the world by making a difference in your very own life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know that he came and he lived, he died, he was crucified, he took your sins to the cross. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, and that God will give you joy, peace, happiness, love. He will give you wisdom, direction, and purpose. Oh, yes, he will. He will make a difference in your life. So you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Email me if you have. If you do, email me so that I can get you some material out in the mail. But know that God can make a difference in your life and that you can make a difference in the world. Remember that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.